Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight it's my pleasure to welcome back Bernadette Dickinson. She's a well-known and admired psychic medium, spiritual teacher, empowerment coach for life and business, spiritual advisor, speaker, author, radio show host, and healer. She has trained and rehabilitated racehorses, trained and shown hunter, jumpers, and abused horses since 1986. She was a marketing sales professional for 20 years, and as a professional psychic and life coach for over 16 years, she has a proven track record. Bernadette has successfully coached thousands of individuals from all walks of life. She has guided clients through every imaginable challenge and past self-limiting beliefs. Her long study of world religions and spirituality has fueled her personal faith and inspired her to explore the application of spiritual principles to today's complicated world. She has juggled the responsibility of single motherhood with the stress of a successful marketing consultant career. Overcoming and besting those daily challenges formed her personal convictions and philosophy. Doing work as a medium, Bernadette has located missing pets, assisted in missing person and murder investigations, and created a connection of contact with loved ones who have crossed over. She provides clients with understanding, skills, and inspiration to powerfully create the lives they desire. Business executives and celebrities seek her advice and coaching. People who refuse to settle for mediocrity and want better. And that's what we all should aspire to. Who wants mediocrity when you can have better? So what do you have to say about that, Bernadette?
Hey, David. You know, it's easy to settle, isn't it?
Yeah, I know it
is. I know so many people that I work with, whether it's through my psychic end of my work or through coaching them and teaching them how to manifest their own lives, that we all tend to want to bargain when things don't happen fast enough for us. And we settle. And we shouldn't. We should never settle. We aren't meant to settle.
Well, what is it that propels a person to do that?
Well, a lot of times it's, you know, historical evidence in their own lives, you know, and unconsciousness. So they aren't conscious of what their thoughts are and what their feelings are, and they've listened to whatever programming from their family members, their friends, their teachers, the media, you know, and what other people say is possible. And they're either unaware of the fact that we live in an unlimited universe, you know, where there is no limitations. You can have whatever you want. It just takes being really clear and really in alignment and then holding faith. But when people don't know that, they go based on their past experiences. So if they've been in bad relationships, you know, they enter into one from, let's just say, a desperate or needy place. And then as things start to go down the road a bit, maybe one argument, maybe there's a missed call. Now we start to think, oh, God, it's failing. And past history says, no relationships work out. So it's based on people's past beliefs too, and not only conscious beliefs, but very much the unconscious, subconscious underlying programs and beliefs.
So what is the trick for moving from a state of unconsciousness to a state of consciousness so that we can change our programming, get into alignment, and start to manifest what we desire?
It takes commitment to looking at who you are and who you want to be, and then the gap in between, and then doing the work to fill that gap. You know, and it's not easy work. We have to be willing to rip it apart and look at scary things, uncomfortable things. But, you know, like I tell all of my students, we don't change when we're comfortable. We only change when we're uncomfortable. And truly, we don't even look for spiritual answers, whether it be through a psychic or through our own course of study, inspirational, motivational materials. We don't even look for that if we're all joyful and happy. We only look for it once we're desperate, once things have gone sort of sideways in our lives. Then we begin to ask those questions. Who am I? What am I? One of the main questions I ask people, especially older folks, that always amazes me, they don't know how to answer it. One simple question: what makes you happy? And it takes people a whole lot to answer that question.
I know, and I don't get that. I do and I don't, you know. It's taken me a long time in my life, speaking for myself, to discover what makes me happy. I think that, like a lot of people, I used to be much more codependent and buy into what other people said I should do or should be, and I kind of molded myself into what they expected of me, and of course came up on empty on the inside because I was not being true to myself or even seeking what my true heart's desires are. And I'm sure that's the case for a lot of folk. What do you think?
I think it's true. I mean, I know in the course that I teach, one of the major issues that's repeating, no matter how successful somebody is, and I work with a lot of successful people, the one belief that everybody seems to have in common in one area or another in their lives, at one time or another in their lives, is that they're not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not perfect enough. I'm not successful enough. You know, and it's like, when is enough enough?
Well, you know, almost every spiritually gifted person I've had on this program talks about that. And I have a wonderful woman by the name of Ada Marie. She calls herself the Golden Oracle. She's in her 80s, and she's a healer who has healed herself from some remarkably life-threatening situations. But I wish I remember her saying. She has you say something and tap your head three times. So I would just encourage any of my listeners who are interested to look in the archives for my last show with Ada Marie, because she describes that, what you should do. She guarantees it will bring you success, and it's fairly early on in the program. So look for Ada Marie. She was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I have her on every 3 months or so. Remarkably wonderful, wise woman, channel healer, seer. Her great-grandmother was a seer for the Court of England. So I recommend you check that out. But let's talk a little bit about that self-worth or lack of self-love. And, of course, it's probably pretty easy to see where it comes from. But what can we do to get beyond that? What's your take on that?
Well, at first, you know, I have people identify as far back as they can remember that they felt that. And then I employ emotional freedom technique, the gold standard, EFT, tapping. I don't know how many people that listen to your show are familiar with it, but I've been doing EFT with clients for over a decade now. So it works without re-traumatizing somebody. You know, all we have to do is bring it up, and thankfully I am clairvoyant, so I can walk someone through the process and know exactly what to say that's going to clear that issue. and allow them to be able to repeat the process for themselves after we run through it a couple of times, it's really healing. When somebody realizes where their stuff came from, then they can begin to unravel the rest of it, you know, and disprove it. I mean, one of the easiest things to do, and sometimes one of the hardest things, is to unravel a belief that we've held on to and disprove it. You know, it's not true. What worthiness is a funny, tricky thing because everybody has a different standard of judgment, but like one of the things I teach is about getting out of a state of judgment. There is a universal law of no judgment. You know, nothing is neither good or bad until you say it's so. And the minute you create that judgment, now you're living up to the standards of that judgment. So if you were raised to believe you have to weigh, you know, as a woman, 110 pounds and be 5'8", you know, to be beautiful, it's almost impossible for anyone to live healthily and you know, live up to that standard. But the same goes for everything in life. I know a lot of people that have this belief that if they cry, it's a sign of weakness. And it's not. It's actually a sign of strength. So we have all these funky things that really deteriorate our own self-worth, and then you have family dynamics, and then you have funny dynamics in the workplace, and school taught us, you know, only the straight-A students are the ones that are worthy of the scholarships and the this and that, and we've picked that up to the point in this society where even when we're trying to manifest from a spiritual level, you know, and imagine what we want for our lives, then comes in the question of worthiness. We start to feel guilty, so we'll take it down a notch. Oh, maybe I'm being greedy. Take it down another notch. You know, maybe I'm not the best of people, so I'll just settle for whatever shows up, even if it doesn't make you happy, which is completely unfair not only to you, but to the people around you.
Well, what can we do when we start to slip down that slippery slope to gain some momentum and climb up the ladder again?
It's all about creating a strong spiritual foundation. You know, first and foremost and always, know yourself aside and apart, and define yourself aside and apart from what you've learned up till this point. I mean, you literally need to wipe the slate clean and start from ground zero. Who am I? Who am I first as a spiritual being? Right? And then what experience have brought me to who I am now? How do I behave? What do I like? What do I dislike? Where are my strong side? Where are my weaknesses? Be willing to look at all of it. And as you do, you begin to see there is no worthy or unworthy. There is no good or bad. There doesn't need to be a dichotomy in any of it. You are you,
well,
and you're perfect.
Ultimately, we're the only ones that judge ourselves, right? I mean, unless we take on the judgment of others.
Yeah, but that so many people do. You know that saying,
yes,
keep up with the Joneses?
Yeah.
It goes on in the spiritual communities.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean, I see it even a lot of times within my classes, whether it's my psychic development class or my Charm Life course, you know, we share in there what we're experiencing, and people begin to compare their experiences. And anytime you get into comparison, you get into trouble, and then you start to feel less than. Because that's what you were programmed into. And my experience is going to be very different from other people's experiences because I have different filters, because I've had different experiences. Can't compare.
Well, let's take it a step farther, because I know there's a judgment buried within this too. But what happens when we find ourselves weakening against something like disappointment? If we're on a path and feel like we're going somewhere and then we encounter disappointment, what's causing that for us and what can we do about that?
Lack of faith. Truly, it's just lack of faith. It's, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of us, we see these spiritual sayings. I mean, I put them out every day for my people on my networks, but truly we hit this place where we expect things to happen in a certain way, and if it doesn't happen in that way or in the timing in which we are wanting it, we start to doubt. Then we lose our faith. Then we start to, you know, our ego kicks in. Our wounded inner child starts to go off and tell us all the reasons why, whether it's our mother's voice in our head, our enemies. You know, we hear all this chatter in our head of why it's not happening. And then we take it down a notch, or we just give up before, right before that thing is going to happen.
Well, how can we walk the fine line between expectation, which is fraught with disappointment, and faith that all is well and that we are on the path to...
Well, back up a minute.
Yep.
Expectation is wrought with disappointment, says who?
No. I'm saying that when something doesn't happen, as you were describing it, in the time that we want, and we begin to become disillusioned. I mean, expectation, in other words, is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, we need to always expect that everything turns out for us, and even something that appears to be against us is always for our highest good. There's always something behind it, and something good can come out of it, always. And it's getting clear of all of the other understandings, beliefs, and programs that we've picked up along the way that will clear the way for us to hold on to those, so that even though the physical world doesn't show what we're trying to manifest right away, we can deny that reality and believe in what our dreams are until they are made manifest. People may think we're crazy too, believe me. I've had enough experiences of manifesting really big things, and people thought I was crazy until it happened, and then they couldn't say anything.
So it's all about holding the faith and not allowing anything that may seem to discourage us get in the way of what our expectation is.
Exactly. Now, when it comes to relationships, it's a little bit different. And actually, what I teach people is, you know, don't put a name or a face to it when it comes to relationships, right? Because there are forces at play that know better than you in your conscious mind or your limited third dimensional view what's best for you. Right? Because I know a lot of people call me about past relationships as a psychic, and they're like, is he coming back? Is he going to leave his wife? Is he, or is she? And not always, as much as you may want it and may work to manifest it, it may not come back, but for good reason. And so I always say, list out the things and set your intention for the things and qualities you want in a relationship. How do you want to feel? Hold on to that. And let divine guidance bring it to you. Don't put a name or a face to it.
So this, maintaining the feeling level seems to be the key.
Yeah, okay. So let me share with you.
Okay.
I told you today, I almost canceled this interview with you because I'd hurt my tailbone on Saturday. And found out today it's broken. So Friday night, kind of last minute, my 14-year-old was in Seattle with her sister, which is where we're moving, and she was coming back early. So we have, my dad retired from the airlines, we have flight passes, you have to fly standby. Well, where I live, it's either a four-hour drive to Albuquerque Airport, or it's almost 7 hours to Denver. So it's Friday night, I had her booked to Albuquerque, and I was like, all right, get there, get back. Decent hour, right? The flight comes in at like 3:30 in the afternoon. Wouldn't even have to leave home until 10 a.m., 11 a.m. And Friday night, I kept praying, please just open up more seats, because it was only down to 2 seats, and she's on standby, so there's no guarantee she's going to get on that flight. And my brother-in-law, who also works for the airlines, was checking the flight load, and he said, it's looking tight. But there's a 6:30 flight out of Seattle and gets into Denver at 10:10. Do you want me to put her on that? It's wide open. She'd be number one. And I'm like, you know, I guess I could switch it, but this is going to be a major pain in my ass. So I switched it. Now, Friday night, Saturday morning, middle of the night, I had to leave my house at 3 a.m. to get to the airport through TSA to pick up my kid. So, and I had only had 3-4 hours of sleep, and I forgot that it was the first night we were going to have a freeze. And hands full, two thermoses in one hand, one with water, one with coffee cup in the other hand. And my purse hit the third step on my deck, full of ice, flat on my butt, and broke my tailbone. And I did it to myself because it wasn't just that I said, it's going to be a pain in the butt to drive to Denver. It wasn't just that, because I knew there was going to be snow on the pass. It was truly the feeling of dread, and I was feeling stress and dread about making that 7-hour each way drive, and leaving at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was that feeling when I was making the reservation, and behind those words, when I said them, I truly meant it. It was, I felt that, and I created it that quickly.
You changed it from a metaphor into 3D reality.
And we do it all the time. It's just most people don't manifest as fast. You know, truly people don't manifest. I can manifest really quickly. And sometimes we say these things and we do these things and they have so much emotion behind them. We don't know why these things happen. Me being the conscious being that I am, I knew why it happened when it happened. But, yeah. It got even worse because there were several accidents on the way home, so we had a 3-hour delay. So here I am, broken tailbone. I was in the car for 16 hours that day.
Oh, my God, Bernadette. How did you do it?
Yeah, I have a really high pain threshold.
My God.
Yeah. And I prayed a lot.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to say.
The thing is, my reason for bringing that up is because you talk about emotions, right?
Yeah.
And envisioning. And literally, in that simple little act of envisioning that drive, because I've done the drive to Denver many times, right? Envisioning that drive, knowing there's going to be a snowstorm, knowing that I'd have to leave in the dark and I wasn't going to get home until dark, just that whole feeling of, God, I don't want to do this, but I want to pick up my kid, was there. And it's simple, but we charge things like that all the time. I can't tell you how many things I've created negatively with that kind of emotion behind it. And the negative emotion sometimes is way more powerful. We can generate that more powerfully than we can positive emotions. But if we can do it consciously in a positive emotional way, matched with a positive imagination and envisioning, we can create equally on the other end of the spectrum.
Well, let's talk about the tools that we can use to do that.
Okay. There's lots. I mean, really, there are a lot. The one thing I will tell people, because I know, you know, the law of attraction has been very popular for a number of years, but it doesn't always work for everyone. At least it doesn't appear to work for everyone. And part of that is because of what I talked about in the beginning, which is subconscious, unconscious beliefs and programs that block us, that we're unaware of. So if you have two competing thoughts, which one do you think wins out?
Well, that's kind of a no-brainer because the negative stuff seems to have a stronger pull.
It has a stronger emotional memory quality to it, yeah.
And so we really need to sort through that garbage first if we're going to manifest something that's positive, yes?
Yes, always. So
mm-hmm.
you have to look at that. What are my blocks? What in my belief system, in the way I treat myself, in the way I allow others to treat me, right, would block this thing from coming to me, right? I know a lot of people that try and manifest relationships, love, perfect partnerships, they're soulmates, you can call it whatever you want, but they enter into that wanting to create that from a place of loneliness, rejection, fear of abandonment, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
not fully healed or recovered from past abuse. Then they go looking for a partner. Guess what they magnetize to them?
Yeah, I know. More abusive okay. partners.
Yeah, and then a lot of people.
More people.
What a lot of people do
is
say that, you know, I don't want this. I don't want abuse. Mm-hmm. I don't want this, and I don't want that. And the more you focus on what you don't want and you list that out, the more you're actually opening the doorway for that to come flooding in. And
right.
so you have to also be aware of when you set your intention for what you do want, always, always set it in the positive. So if you want someone who's not an addict because you had an addictive relationship and you know the madness that goes with that, simply put straight and sober. It's that simple. You know, but
yeah,
we don't want to say, I don't want.
I've heard a lot of people say to write down and be specific
mm-hmm.
what it is that you do want in a job, in a relationship, whatever, and
mm-hmm.
look at that, sleep with it under your pillow, put it on your bathroom mirror, whatever you need to do to keep reminding yourself of those positives and keep away from the negatives. As we do draw that stuff to us one way or the other.
One of the most powerful tools in manifesting, one of the most powerful techniques in manifesting came from a man named Neville Goddard back in the 30s. Wayne Dyer read a bunch of his things and actually wrote a book called Wishes Fulfilled off of Neville Goddard's material. Neville Goddard talks a lot about live in the end, envision from the end. Meaning, if your wish was already fulfilled, what would you feel? What would you hear from the people around you? What would it be like? Now, his stuff is very biblically based, like he bases a lot of his stuff on scripture, so I really highly resonate with him. Not everybody will, but I do know that when you do envision how something ends, like what's it like at time of fulfillment from the positive standpoint, it moves things very quickly. And then it's not hard to hold that vision. And you want to do it, like, from a standpoint of daydreaming, and then especially right before you fall asleep at night, because then your conscious mind is subconscious Mary, and then at a certain point you start to dream about that. Once you start to dream about the reality of it coming, then the physical 3D manifestation is right behind it.
Well, I'll tell you that of the people that call into my show, it seems that the number one concern for people is job.
Yep.
Followed by relationships, followed by prosperity, which I guess can be tied into jobs. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, depending on how you look at it, the lowest number of requests have to do with spiritual nourishment.
Yep.
Now, what would you have to say about that?
It's backwards.
Yeah.
It is. It's really, it's very backwards. I mean, you know, I teach a course called 30 Days to a Charm Life, and while it is about manifesting your life consciously, that's not most of the teaching that I do in that class is teaching people how to create their spiritual foundation and build upon it to enter into conversation with spirit on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, so that they don't need a psychic or so that their intuition can kick in and they themselves
yeah.
can be guided. Because when you're aligned to spirit that way, the job, the money, the relationships – all come very fast and very easily.
Well, when you talk about moment to moment, because I believe that's very important, What exactly should we be focused on as we go through our moments? I mean, obviously, we don't want to, I don't know if it's obvious or not, you tell me, we don't want to keep focusing on something that's off in the distance, but focus on what's good that's happening to us now and counting our blessings along the way and keeping our levels of vibrations up. What do you say about that?
And it's also about, you know, living in the place, too, where you assume it's already done. Now, I'm not telling you, you know, for those that are trying to manifest big amounts of money to go out and spend a bunch of money on your credit card. It's not that. It's holding the feeling of wealth.
Yeah.
Feeling. What does that feel like? And live from that place. Be grateful for what you have and live from that place of worry-free, that place of feeling liberated, that place of joy, that place of generosity, right? That place of compassion. And it's true for anything, but, you know, the reality is if we can come from that place, then each moment is amazing and our steps are guided. And so we get conversations with spirit. We get signs in nature, whether it's a hawk or a caterpillar, a dragonfly, a butterfly, you know, all kinds of different signs show up when we're willing to make that connection and pay attention. And I mean, it's so funny because I'm going to be 50. So, and I'm sure you know the movie Pollyanna.
Yes.
You know that? I couldn't believe how many people in my group didn't know that movie. I was like, wow, I feel really old now.
It's a wonderful movie. So
it
positive.
What was her deal? Do you remember?
Well, I just remember her as being very lighthearted and optimistic.
Mm-hmm. And people were crabby with her, and it didn't matter how mean they were, how rude they were. She always saw everything through those rose-colored glasses. Everything was beautiful.
She did.
Everything was perfect. She saw the lining.
And so many people poo-poo that kind of attitude, and that's what we need to have.
It is what we need to have, and it is what brings us to the place of connection, because you're at a very high vibration when you're there. You know, you're when you're in that place where all you see is the positive, all you see is the creator in all things, and you know it's all working out perfectly, and the birds are singing, and, you know, everything's wonderful no matter how crabby someone is to you. You're non-reactive like Pollyanna was. Life unfolds in a very magical way, very magical way. In fact, to the point where as soon as you think of something that you want, it just appears. Could be a parking space. Could be you're on the subway and you really had a long day and you want to sit down. But instead of complaining about it, you just have the thought, it'd be really nice to sit right now. And all of a sudden, someone offers you their seat. It's like that. Like, my students experience stuff like that. And it's the little things, but it also adds up to bigger things.
Well, I'm really good at manifesting parking places. That's good. The bigger things have been a little more elusive, but I haven't lost faith. What I'm wondering is, what do people do when they are dealt what they seem like is a low blow? Is that something that's okay for them to talk about with somebody to discharge, or what's the best way to deal with that?
I'd say journal it. You know, first, every time, always, keep in a journal, A, documents kind of where you've been and where you're going and the shift in energy. But for me, especially when it's something that appears negative, when you journal it, you're allowing your ego to dump, your emotions a place to vent. And then once all of that is pushed out of the way, you know, and you can kind of reassure your ego, look, it's been stored. You can let it go now. Stop thinking about it in that circular, anxiety-ridden way. Then you can journal some more to really find out what really is bothering you about what happened. And then revision it, rewrite it, flip what I call flip the script. change the story and turn it into something positive. We have that power. It's not magic.
Yes. Well, it's so important to change the script, and we can do that about past circumstances in our lives, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I urge people to do that. Change the story. You know, a lot of people look at me and they think, you know, things are so easy for you. No, things were not always easy for me. I came from an abusive family. I've had abusive relationships. I've overcome leukemia and cancer naturally by myself, you know, not with doctors. I've done it. Pulled myself off the floor. In fact, last year, I just went through a battle with colon cancer that I'd put off dealing with until finally it couldn't be put off anymore. And overcome all of it. Flew to India to have neck surgery because my spinal cord was in jeopardy of being severed from a bone osteophyte. And, you know, most people are like, weren't you scared? I'm like, no. I trust in the way everything lined up for me to get the surgery that was not legal here in the U.S. at the time. This was back in 2010. And even though I'd never been to India, and it's, you know, from the standpoint of facilities, not as nice as the U.S., I just trusted, because of the way it all came to me, that it was all going to be okay. And it was. And here I am, 6 years later, perfectly fine.
Beautiful. That's a beautifully inspiring story. You know, we have had some callers on the line. I'm wondering if you're open to dialoguing with them.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I see you, area code 970. So even though I haven't talked with you, we will get to you in a little while. So hang in there. Bernadette has given readings in the past, but she's not doing that tonight because of her personal circumstances. It takes a lot of energy, and she wants to keep this as a dialogue show tonight. So that's what we're doing, and it's been very inspiring. Thank you. Let me just throw out to you what I was talking to you about before the show began as an example of something that people may be dealing with. And, of course, what you were saying to me was that perhaps, as I understood it, that I needed to stay in more of a place of faith. But my situation is, and I don't want to belabor it, I've been writing books for years and years, and I've self-published. I had one independently published. And I have this series of books. I've written 13 of them, of which one was professionally edited, the first one, and it's now in the hands of three agents. And I have been dealing with a lot of rejection, and most of it has not been unpleasant for me. I just accept that that's the nature of the beast, if you will. And I keep envisioning this life. My dream is to live on the Atlantic Ocean in Maine. And so I dream of that, and I see that house. And I know the way that I imagine I need to get there, and the path that I've been on, is that these books are going to manifest that dream for me. It makes no sense that I would not have written all these books if they weren't meant to be published. So, you know, I guess I'm just wondering what kind of advice that you would give for me to stay more faith-based, and for somebody else that has a similar challenge in their life or learning opportunity, what they can do to remain open to the laws of manifestation.
So the one thing I would tell you, David, is to envision it's like a banner they put across the top of a book. Number one best-selling author, or number, you know, New York Times best-selling list for the week or the month or however they see your title and your name. Play it out of you reading it and feeling excited reading that in the paper. See it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble on the way they list the top, you know, the top books of the week.
Yes.
See your name there and how it feels to be listed. one of the top best-selling authors and just keep doing that, then all the details will be filled in. The agent, the publishing house, all that other stuff will be filled in. Your job is to see the end, which is the series.
Well, I have worked on that in the past, and I think I've been focusing on details along the way.
Nope. Details are up to the universe. That's not up to you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that. That's very helpful, and I hope it's helpful to the other callers. And I call out area code 970, and that's you. But I do have two other callers on the line, one of which has been with us for a good part of the show. Let's take a call and see what they would like to ask you. And just to remind callers, one's just come on the air. Bernadette's not giving readings tonight, but she's talking about consciousness and manifestation, and she's willing to dialogue with you about that. So I'm going to go to area code 630, and you are live on the air. What is your name, please?
Hi, this is Jenna.
I'm sorry,
Hi,
what's your name? Oh, Donna. Hi.
I'm sorry. It's Jenna with a J.
Oh, Jenna. Okay. How are you tonight, Jenna?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for asking. Say hello to Bernadette.
Wonderful. I've actually just been enjoying this, just listening. Kind of likewise, I feel like I really struggle with manifestation. But I have been in that frequency, too, where, you know, you're kind of in it and everything comes easily. But as far as relationships go, I think maybe it is the details thing, because the second a relationship comes into my life, for me it often becomes about the details, and a lot of times it's like just as quickly as it started, it ends. It's interesting.
What do you mean in the details, though, of relationships?
Good question. I think just like, I don't know, I'm kind of like a private person, and I am very open when it's like, you know, a platonic relationship, but when it's like more of a serious relationship, I think I do probably have more, kind of like maybe more negative thoughts than I think I actually do, you know, maybe that, like you said, fear of abandonment or those kind of things come into play where I'm like, oh, is he going to, I can't shake this thought of, like, you know, always feeling like, oh, are they going to find something out about me that they don't like, or, yeah, I don't know, you know, like always feeling like I'm going to be the one that's kind of dismissed.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
That, and, well, vulnerability and worthiness is the words that are coming through with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In intimate, you know, in intimate partnership. So those are the things, like, I would really look to uncover is that vulnerability and that feeling of worthiness. Because let me tell you, there is no worthy and unworthy. There is only, does someone actually see our value,
right?
Perceive it and appreciate it.
Right.
And if they don't, then they don't deserve to be in our lives.
I know. That is true.
So yeah, I would work on that though. I mean, there's a reason you have these walls, and you'll manifest a relationship that's healthy much quicker if you don't change your behavior between your friendships and your intimate partnerships.
Right. That I know. That I'm working on.
Cool.
You know, the one concern that I had when you started talking, Jenna, was you talked about struggle. And that's a perception, and I wonder what Bernadette might have to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I mean, we all choose certain words. Struggle is one of that creates resistance, for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it is a word to describe that feeling that we're swimming against the current of what we want. So it's good because you do recognize it, Jenna. You are in resistance to the very thing you want. So you need to turn around and go the other direction and go with the flow of things. and just addressing those simple things. Yeah, I say simple, not so simple for you because they're your personal stuff, but it isn't that hard to really face those things and then move it in a direction where you're floating along and you're magnetizing to you the right partner.
Definitely. I think it's, see, I almost said the struggle word again. I think it's been difficult for me at times just because I've kind of carried these feelings for so long that almost like I feel like they're more deeply ingrained.
Yep.
And so I think it's hard for me because it definitely, I would agree with you, it's that vulnerability piece. You know what I mean? Like, is this person going to like me for me? And I don't know, you know, it just, it's, yeah, it's interesting.
I hear you. And that is something that we, like the course that I offer online, which actually is supposed to close tomorrow, I think I'm going to push it until the end of the weekend because I have been out of it. But 30 Days to a Charm Life, we address all of that. A lot of people in there that are working on relationships, manifesting healthy relationships. Because it's not hard to manifest a relationship.
No. No, that I found out this year. Not at
all. It's more difficult to manifest a healthy relationship if you have a bunch of old unconscious baggage from the past that you're trying to drag into it without knowing the new one.
Right.
So, yeah, you can learn how to do it, and it really is not that difficult, truly. And then all of your relationships begin to change, and you actually begin to feel more supported by your friends.
Definitely. That's awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciated listening to the show tonight.
Hi, you're welcome.
Oh, thank you for tuning in. And just to let you know, Bernadette's website is BernadetteDickinson.com. And Bernadette is spelled BERNADETTE, and Dickinson is spelled just like it sounds. With the CK. So check that out, and it comes right up with instant access to enroll in the Charmed Life course. So for folks that are listening tonight or for folks that listen to the podcast this week, it sounds like you'd still be open to enrolling them through the week. Is that correct?
Yeah, and if it's already down off of my website and they've listened to the show or they listened to the archive, have them just email me and let me know that they listened to the show, and I'll let them in.
Okay, great, great. Well, Jenna, thank you for calling tonight. Was there anything else you had before I let you go?
Thank you. No. Thank you so much.
Okay,
thanks,
you can keep listening. Yeah, I'm just going to mute your microphone, but you can keep listening.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. God bless. Well, we've covered a lot of ground tonight. I guess I'd like to talk a little bit about awareness and maintaining consciousness now and what we can do on a moment-by-moment basis to remain more aware.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tell you the question that I have all of my people and I ask myself all the time throughout the day. There's two questions. What would love do? That's the first one. And am I being loving? If you can focus on that throughout the day, whether you're at the post office, the supermarket, sitting in traffic, dealing with a nasty coworker, dealing with temper tantrum children, or paying bills, or looking on Facebook posts, or watching the political debates, and answer that question a true yes, you will align your life to the highest vibration on this planet and always be in a state of alignment with Creator and with all good things, if you can answer yes to that question.
That sounds very simple, and it sounds like the golden rule to me.
It should be. We don't always remember, right? I mean, so there are times, and I don't want anyone to feel bad for feeling bad, right? We all have negative moments. We all have moments where we want to cuss and we want to scream, and we do want to throw a temper tantrum because things aren't going our way, and it's okay. Don't beat yourself up about that. My rule to that is set a timer. Set an egg timer. You got 10 minutes. Throw a temper tantrum. Throw one like a 3-year-old and throw it good. And when that timer goes off, get up and go do something else like a child would and go have some fun.
I have another psychic on my show by the name of Mary Blake who encourages throwing temper tantrums to get it out of your system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't repress it. Don't suppress it because it's still going to be there. But you don't want to get stuck in that state. We all have states of consciousness that we move through any given moment of the day. And if it's a low state, acknowledge it, deal with it, process it, set a time limit on it, move on, and raise yourself to a higher state. And the highest state that we can be in is love.
Is it possible to just do it through some kind of physical activity where we don't get as drawn into the emotional baggage, or is that not recommended?
That's why I love tapping. Tapping discharges the emotions that are trapped in on the cellular level within the energy meridians. Tapping's very mm-hmm. quick, very painless, and it relieves that emotional congestion.
Mm-hmm.
But walking,
mm-hmm.
walking in nature, jogging, swimming, dancing is one of the quickest ways to connect back to spirit.
Mm.
I don't
Beautiful.
Know anyone that can dance and be sad at the same time. I just don't.
Well, I feel the same way about things like music and art and being in nature. Anything that makes me feel tranquil and at peace gets me away from the shit.
Yeah. And sometimes you just need downtime. I mean, sometimes we live in an overstimulated world. Sometimes find a good movie to watch. Just curl up in a ball, drink a cup of tea, and watch a good movie. And don't think about anything. Leave your problems to the side. And a lot of times when you just leave them alone, they solve themselves. Or your intuition kicks in and says, if you do this, it will resolve the issue. And it does.
I think that's great advice. However, I know some people, and I've been guilty of this, if you will, in the past, and that is that I've just zoned out in front of a series of TV shows and watched them ad infinitum.
Yeah, no, not those. I mean, you want to pick a good inspirational show to watch, you know, a good movie.
I'm talking about an inspirational show, but I'm just saying that I use that self-medicate, you know, and... I need to live my life, too.
Definitely.
I mean, there are people that procrastinate manifesting their realities and never do, and that's sad.
It is sad, but I'll tell you, your imagination is the quickest doorway there is to access creative energy and to access the Creator. But instead of using our imagination for worst-case scenarios, it's way more powerful to imagine best case scenarios. And when you do, and you add emotion to it, and you put yourself in it like it's already happened, you will manifest much quicker.
Mm. Well, let's talk about healing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a sense, we've been talking about that, but let's talk, we've been talking a lot about emotional healing. What about physical healing?
Physical healing always starts with emotional healing, always.
Mm-hmm.
I have a machine that I've been using for a number of years, and the way we were trained on it, they call it biofeedback. It's more than biofeedback, but they taught us to go physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. I go backwards because that's what my guides told me. They said do the spiritual, clear that first, balance everything. Then go emotional, then go mental, and the physical clears very quickly, and it does.
Mm. Mm.
So we can't, when it comes to physical healing, you can't just treat the symptoms and expect to heal. You have to look at how did I get here to begin with.
Well, we
and
came
it
here
always
as
starts.
But I,
hmm?
We came here as spirits first and foremost, so that's where we need to start.
That is where we need to start. And so, so many times we, you know, our mental stuff, chitter chatter gets in the way. What we see in the physical time and space screen gets in the way. Then our emotions get wrapped into it. And then it affects our countenance and spirit and our faith drops, right? And then it shows up in our physical body.
Yeah, a lot of people are focused on the physical body and don't see the connection. And, you know, it's, what I'm getting from you is it's spirit, heart, mind, body in that order.
Yep. It's spirit first, and then your emotions, how do you feel, and then what do you think, and then what are you doing physically to your body? And you'll, if you work it that way, you're going to figure it out really quickly, which also means you can heal it really quickly, really quickly.
Well, what's the biggest trap and what's the best escape route?
For healing?
Yeah, for healing, yeah.
The biggest trap is fear. The biggest trap for most people are buying into labels and diagnoses and, you know, I avoid doctors like the plague because I don't want to hear it, you know. When I had my cancer and they started trying to give me your stage this and that, I don't want to hear it. Thanks, goodbye. Now I know what to do, and I did what I needed to do to fix it. And I knew it was bad. I knew it. But I didn't buy into it, nor did I buy into the fear of it. I immediately went into meditation and went, okay, I've known this has been here for a long time, and I have put it off. I'm ready to deal with it. What do I need to do? And the first things that I need to do was make peace with being on this planet, because that's been one of my deals. And a lot of empaths and sensitive, we do have an issue being here. It doesn't feel comfortable. It's dense.
No, I hear you.
So once we address, you know, that, then we go to the feelings of all of our experiences, and then we get to, okay, what have I put into my body? What have I been listening to? What have I been paying attention to? Fix all of that. Feed the body differently, and all of a sudden you're healed.
Well, for me, it all seems to start with a thought, and that can be both the sticking part and that can be the manifestation part for me. And I guess that depends on whether I'm unconscious or conscious, because it's the fear that gets me stuck.
Fear is the opposite. I mean, people think the opposite of love is hate. No, the opposite of love is fear. It's the lowest end of the spectrum.
Well, Anthony DeMello talks about there just being two states, and those are the two states he refers to.
Well, there's more than two states. There's definitely more than two states. It's funny because Spirit had me read Dante's Inferno and Dante's Purgatory and Dante's Paradise just in the last few weeks to remind me of the different states of consciousness. And literally, there are dozens of states. We fall into them. Do we get stuck and stay there, or do we keep moving up the scale?
Well, we need to do more talking, but we've come to the end of the hour.
And that was fun. Thank you.
It was a lot of fun. I really thank you, Bernadette. I'd love to do this again.
Yeah, it would be great.
Yeah, well, I wish you well with your healing, and if you don't mind, I'd like to give you a call right after the show is over, because I'm looking for March. I'd like to get you on the March schedule.
You bet. No problem.
Hey, I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, David.
So once again, we come to a close. Now let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we're all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There's no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expression at source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, and God bless.